All right, Stadia week.
Whoop, whoop.
Eight months later, can you imagine? It's been 8 months. We've been waiting for this for 8 months. And now it's finally here.
It is. It is, and it's glorious.
Is it? Yeah, I can't believe that most of this year was basically defined by waiting for Stadia to finally arrive.
Yeah. It's what I've been looking forward to all year.
Oh, that was so obvious.
Well, I mean, but
yeah. So yeah. So it's been 8 months. That said, I do feel that in 8 months the launch could have been smoother, and things should have probably been finalized before the last week with a Reddit AMA that wasn't very official. So Google being Google, the issues started over the weekend, actually. So the charges went, people's credit cards started being charged on Saturday night, I believe. But some people reported their cards being put on hold and canceled. What is that situation, Kyle?
Yeah, it's really strange. The whole thing seems to be tied to either PayPal going wonky or credit card information being out of date. But Google didn't really allow a way to change your credit card information once the pre-order had been placed. There were even some cases of people who just charged for Stadia on someone else's credit card, like a friend or a family member. And then just had the order canceled altogether because of it.
Oh, because of like a name mismatch?
Yep, name mismatch.
That's unfortunate. So, moving on from there, Sunday night, right? It was Sunday night. Google announced 10 more games to the lineup, bringing the total to 22. Yeah, 22. And this was done by a tweet by Stadia head Phil Harrison, 6 p.m. on Sunday night. They added all these games after how much criticism was there last week about them only having 12 games at launch?
Everyone who published criticized, but I'd like to just slip in a correction that it wasn't a Phil Harrison tweet. It was a Phil Harrison retweet. He retweeted, Jeff, Keighley's tweet. So I don't know. They've had some close relations before. Like mm-hmm. He did the interview at E3, but I think that was very interesting that the news came from Jeff and not from Phil.
Yeah. And Google didn't have a blog post until Monday, around Monday morning, I believe. And
yeah.
So yeah, they almost doubled the games. They added a second game for Stadia Pro members, which is nice. Samurai Showdown. Overall, so their reasoning was they were being super careful about what they could get ready for launch day. And within they announced on Tuesday, I think, last Tuesday, that there were only 12 games. So their partners worked day and night, presumably, to get everything approved and launch, which I guess is an impressive feat. But again, at the same time, that really does seem last minute. It is last minute. And not exactly confidence inspiring.
Yeah, it's. I think it's also part of Google didn't have confidence in their partners and only shared the 12 games that they knew were ready, rather than the 22 that could be ready.
Yeah, that's fair. It's safe and steady from them, but again, it just looked really bad. So that brings us to Monday when the reviews came out. And what was the general consensus of that, Ben?
So basically everyone who tried it had a slightly different experience. But the underlying message was the streaming tech is good, it works, but there is input lag, there's not enough games, and there's not enough features. So everyone should wait to buy it. And I agree with that very, very much now.
Except for like people on the bleeding edge, I guess.
Yeah, except for basically Kyle.
Basically Kyle, basically all of us.
Oh, no.
So yeah, let's jump right in. Kyle, how have you been liking Stadia?
It's really good. It took me playing with the Chromecast Ultra to really see that Stadia it is genuinely good and can be the future.
What's your internet connection? We should all disclose this.
100 megabit per second, AT&T fiber direct to the apartment.
Ben?
100 megabit spectrum, not fiber.
Okay. And I have been playing on a 7 megabit connection over LTE from a Wi-Fi hotspot to my Pixel phone. And let me just add that when I connect my computer to that hotspot, it refuses, Stadia doesn't let me play. It says my connection isn't fast enough on a Chromebook, on a Pixelbook, for whatever reason. But it works perfectly fine on, I'm actually playing it on a Pixel 2 XL right now. But yeah, ideal connections for the two of you. And me, I'm in the minority / I don't know what the percentage right now for usage is, but yeah, let's start with the best experience possible.
I was gonna say, how is it on yours? I'm so curious. Like I everybody knows how it can be.
Okay. Okay. So first, I tried playing Destiny 2 on it. Okay. To start with, using a wire feels archaic as heck. Using a wire from the Stadia controller to the Pixel. I actually first played over Bluetooth using Xbox controller, and ooh, that was a laggy experience.
Yeah.
Switching from Bluetooth, which is, I think Bluetooth was just fine on the Pixel 2 XL, but switching to a hardwired connection to Stadia controller made a night and day difference in terms of input. I was playing Destiny 2, and for some reason, my character just kept like, he was looking straight up into the sky and just kept spinning around because of the Bluetooth connection on this Xbox controller. That was no idea what happened there.
I had that too, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Only on the phone via Bluetooth, like you said.
Ooh, yeah. Which I guess kind of makes sense why the Stadia controller doesn't have Bluetooth and it's just like a Wi-Fi connection. But I guess we'll talk about the Stadia controller in a little bit. So anyways, my gameplay experience. I capped it to 720p, disabled HDR and all that. And last night I played Assassin's Creed Odyssey. And honestly, it was fine. It wasn't beautiful or anything. I wasn't expecting wonderful graphics. But honestly, it wasn't too far away from playing on a Switch, on playing games on a 6-inch screen Switch. Like, it was comparable. And I managed to play for like 3 hours and level up, and that there was like annoying lag, but honestly, it was manageable, especially at 7, which is under Google's advised 10 megabits for at least 720p. So yeah, it's playable, even in under constrained conditions.
It just makes me wonder how bad the network conditions must have been for places like, what was that, the Washington Post?
Yes.
Where they press the space bar and half a second later the character jumps.
Yeah, definitely. I think the question... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I think their issue was just that they were using a corporate network, and it just doesn't want to work on that.
Definitely.
That makes sense.
But that kind of kills the dream of like people definitely like bring in their Switches at lunch and like play. And I don't know how plausible that dream is for most people now, whatever connection issues that corporate environments have. I'm also curious how like schools deal with it. Well, yeah, that's gonna be a fun thing.
I feel like any school that's smart is gonna block Stadia. just to save their bandwidth.
Can they block Google.com, though? How does that work? Or is that, can they do precise domain blocking?
I don't know, honestly. But I feel like they'd have to.
I don't know, though. There's ways that you could use... I mean, it's really arguable, but there's ways that you could use Stadia in a pro-education way. Like Abner, you and I were talking about the education-friendly mode within Assassin's Creed Odyssey and the other Assassin's Creed games. Something like that could be used in a classroom, genuinely, without having to bring an Xbox in.
Yeah.
Which would make you the cool teacher, but still.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's... Yeah, there are... I think we'll talk about this a bit later, but the potential use cases for Stadia ultimately and the server system behind Stadia are unlimited, basically. But yeah, so you played you played a lot of Destiny 2. I think, Ben, your favorite game right now is Grid.
Yeah.
How do those all compare with console equivalents?
So I don't own Grid on anything else. I bought it first on Stadia, but I've played other games like it on PC and on... I haven't played any actually since the PS3. But on my PC, honestly, aside from like little 2-second moments where it buffers or the quality drops, you wouldn't even know that you're streaming. I think Stadia works best for games like this because... With a racing game, input lag is not as big of a deal. Like, you can have a little bit more input lag and it not affect the experience as much as a shooter, like everyone else was testing.
Yeah, I can also say the same with, like, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, when you're, like, using staffs and swords compared to shooting games like Destiny 2. I've had much better luck with Odyssey.
So, is Odyssey, like... I remember when I played Stadia for the first time back at I.O., Assassin's Creed Odyssey felt slow. Is that just how the game feels? Because I haven't played Odyssey anywhere else. Is that how the game feels, or is that how Stadia felt just at that time?
It really isn't a fast-moving game. I remember watching you play back at I.O. I don't think it's a fast-moving game. And... I think that's about the normal experience, which definitely works in favor of Stadia.
Yes, indeed.
So yeah, so the games that, so yeah, the current crop of games, they basically work. Your impressions post said, Kyle, it works, and I think Lost in like the tiny 1,000 million little paper cuts of Stadia's launch is that. This is kind of an ambitious thing. The last company that tried it literally burned and failed to the ground. Ouya.
Was Ouya streaming?
Yeah.
No, they weren't streaming. They were an Android console.
Yeah.
Didn't they have streaming?
It might have been part of it, but it wasn't the main thing.
Hmm.
No. Ouya was an Android console, and it played games natively on Android.
What games?
Exactly.
That's why it crashed and burned.
I literally remember the Ouya controller breaking in half for somebody on Twitter. Like, it literally broke in half in sign of that service. But anyway,
I don't know if you guys ever noticed, but in one of the Stadia pictures, I do not remember which one, there is an Ouya controller.
Yeah, I spotted that. It was in one of the teardown photos, I thought. Not teardowns, one of the unboxing photos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was bizarre. But anyway, continue.
It's the closest thing to a Google console.
It's a Google console. Console in parentheses. But it is ambitious in terms of Google is the first one doing it. There are rumors that Amazon is getting into it. So between Google, Amazon, and Microsoft and xCloud, which we'll talk about a bit later... All the biggest cloud providers, top three cloud providers, are getting into this industry. And hopefully Google has a first mover advantage. I guess the fear at Amazon is that they just bundle it in with Prime, which would be killer. Mm. That'd be totally killer.
And the Twitch integration that they already have.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And I guess, like, everybody likes xCloud right now because it's free and it's just in beta. But I guess if Microsoft does game, I guess they could just do Game Pass or a tier of Game Pass for xCloud, and that would immediately kill Google's business model with Stadia in terms of buying games outright. How are the two of you thinking of that?
The clearest thing that people are forgetting is that Ubisoft is looking to launch, was it Uplay Plus?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing that it is on desktop, where you can play whatever Ubisoft games are included in the plan anytime you want. It's going to be the same thing on Stadia. Pay a couple dollars to Ubisoft, get the Ubisoft games for Stadia.
It'd be nice if it was a couple dollars.
Wow.
It's going to be $15 a month.
That's only a couple dollars, you know, like especially if it doesn't require Stadia Pro, and all you're doing is paying $15 a month. Sounds like a good deal to me.
No, absolutely.
I guess they'll just give you 1080p without Stadia Pro on there, but I do see Google requiring Stadia Pro as a way for them to make money again on top of it. But okay, as the two of you are bigger gamers than I am, but how much affinity do people have with game publishers like Ubisoft and Activision? And just how much affinity do people have with studios that they know that the average person knows where to get their favorite games from? Is adding a publisher subscription tier a barrier, an unneeded barrier, versus like if, let's say, Game Pass, Microsoft Game Pass offers you every single game?
I mean, there's been no end of complaints that there aren't any EA games for Stadia. And I know EA would probably do a pass similar to Ubisoft. So if something like that were to happen, you know, yeah, people probably would piecemeal it out. Just like, I mean, there's going to come a point where, yes, Xbox Game Pass is going to make more sense, though. Just like everybody's getting tired of having Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, Amazon Prime. It's all going to work out to be the same thing. Like, hang on, do I really need this many publisher subscriptions?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Long term, yeah, Microsoft might make more sense in that aspect.
Yeah, I think really, to me at least, it would come down to the games, you know, who has the ones that I care about the most. Which I don't play that many different games, so that doesn't matter to me. But for a lot of people, you know, just what Ubisoft has might not be enough. Or it might not be. Like, there might be one or two games in there that they like, but it might be three or four other games from other publishers.
Yeah. True. So do you see, like, people just switching off, like, smartly switching off what they want month to month? Because we're still in the middle of the TV content, movie streaming wars. We don't know how people will take having, like, 6-7 different services, Disney Plus most recently. So is gaming so much more different than just like watching a movie, that you're so much more invested that you'd be more willing to just like take buying a massive console, a massive subscription, almost several rather?
I could see somebody just buying one per month. Like, I could see swapping out very easily. Like, I might want to grab up Uplay Plus for a month or two to play Watch Dogs, and then not subscribing again until there's something that I want to play. I could see that working out very well.
Yeah.
Is there a per game model where that makes sense, or it has to be a bundle? Like, would charging like $2 a month for one game be viable, or do they just have to bundle
that's
it
kind
on?
Of, that's kind of just going to the freemium model.
Yeah, the freemium model.
Like Fortnite and stuff.
Yeah, and even then, you want to have all those extra games as incentive to stay subscribed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's another question. Does freemium work on Stadia? Like, Stadia base plus freemium, does it work? Because Google still needs to pay the bills somehow.
What, like the...
talked about this before.
what, like the having the free tier you pay once and you're only on Stadia base? Does that work in the long run?
Oh, or just like, can Stadia support freemium games?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I was gonna, that was one thing that I should have checked on and I didn't even know to check on. In the Stadia app, Destiny 2 is listed separately from
the collection.
Separately from the collection. But now that I have it claimed, I have no way to tell how much it actually was.
There was never a price.
Yeah, there was never a price.
Okay. See, because that's one thing I'm wondering about. Maybe Destiny 2 could be a freemium game, but I just don't see it bringing in enough revenue by itself for Google. But that also means that the player base is going to suffer for it, because I mentioned it in my hands-on, in my first impressions, but matchmaking times are really long.
Mm.
Especially by comparison to PC and Xbox and PlayStation, where Destiny 2 and most of the important content is free.
Interesting. Yeah, and that'll definitely improve over time, but
yeah,
it's not helping with this launch day experience. And to add to that, let's talk about 4K upscaling. How do you feel about that, Ben? How do you feel about that?
So Google has been at the very least heavily implying, I say much more than that, that all of the games on Stadia are 4K 60, and they're at the highest settings you can possibly get. And they've very blatantly said every game is at the highest possible settings. And that's not what's happening. Destiny 2 is running at 1080p, and it's heavily upscaled. And Red Dead Redemption 2, which both of those two are kind of the biggest titles on Stadia right now, is 1440p, and it's also upscaled. Mm-hmm. And that's... My post was, they're blatantly lying about that, and it's not okay. And I stand by that. I know a lot of people have, you know, brought out at this point, oh, you know, they never said every game is that, but
native.
Yeah, they've said every game is at the highest possible settings. That's not what's happening, and it's not okay. And it's, yeah.
So is this an issue that gets fixed on these current set of games, or do they require total rework, like brand new games need to support 4K 60 from the start? How does this improve, basically?
I think they can update them, because I think the problem is that Google, the base behind Stadia is based on Linux, and a lot of the games that Google is running are the PC versions of the game. Kyle, correct me if I'm wrong. But the Windows version, I think the Windows version of Red Dead Redemption does run 4K, and mm-hmm. so does Destiny. But the ports they have, I guess, are not reaching that yet. I don't know.
It's two problems. The first is the hardware, which, as people pointed out, it's mostly equivalent hardware to a Xbox One X. And the second thing is optimization. Like I was talking with Ben about earlier, the Red Dead Redemption 2 is not very well optimized on PC right now. So yes, it can get to 4K on an Xbox with its hardware, but that's because Rockstar took the time to optimize for the Xbox One's hardware. So until Rockstar sees a reason even to keep optimizing for Stadia, I don't think it's going to happen. But like I was saying with the hardware, Google has a plan for updating that hardware in the future.
Is it detrimental to playing, though? I definitely agree it's a lie in that Google said 4K 60 and did not bother correcting anybody to the actual technical spec behind it. But For the two of you playing on the big screen, how was it?
You know, I'll talk about both of those. I don't think it's a big deal at all. I'll let Kyle talk more because he's actually playing Destiny. But I think the fact that Google hasn't corrected anyone on this is really interesting because it shows that it almost tells me that they just don't care. That upscaling is fine. But Kyle, you've played the actual quality more often.
So what it comes down to for me is value. I can't afford to play Destiny 2 in 4K. I just can't. There's no way that it makes sense for me to do that. Where
how so?
I could either spend a lot of money upgrading my gaming PC, which is slowly getting out of date, which I'm scraping by and it can run 1080p 60 frames, or I can get Stadia. Yes, it's only at 1080p still, but that's only going to improve over time. I know I'm not going to get 4K one way or the other. I know that's not the take that everybody's going to like. That's where I'm at. It just doesn't, from a value prospect, to only spend $130 and get a controller, a Chromecast Ultra that I'm going to use for other things, and be able to play Destiny at a decent quality, I'll take it.
Yeah, and I agree on that point too.
Yeah, so
I mean, I don't know for a fact because I don't play it, but I have a very upgraded gaming PC, and I don't even think it can do 4K on that on Destiny,
let alone 4K 60.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, I think this might be the unpopular opinion, but I don't. Okay, because Google's advertising has been twofold. I think for the initial launch this week, they are really targeting gamers. They're really targeting people who know their stuff, who know their games, who know their experiences. They're targeting those people purposefully because that's who's interested in right now. The fact you have to pay $9.99, that you will have to pay $9.99 and $130 to get in to the door right now, is a natural barrier to most people. But I think it's very clear from what Google's been pushing that the underlying message is in building a game service for everyone is that they'll target average people. They'll target people who've even never played a game and just that who want to upgrade from smartphone games where Stadia makes them go from a smartphone game. So I think in the very long run, quality is not paramount. It's not getting 4K 60, even though they touted 8K 120 at the GDC. I don't think in the long run that it's going to be killer that they get the best resolution, everything, which, yes, it definitely contradicts the idea of the server implementation having the most teraflops, et cetera, et cetera. But I think in the long run, I don't think most people care. People are fine with what they have. And I think that this might ultimately be the case at Stadia in terms of this quality discussion.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy with what I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. It looks better than my gaming PC, I'd argue.
You know, and I agree too. The issue is not the quality, because I think the quality is fine, especially for a streaming service. Mm-hmm. The problem is that Google's out here saying you're going to get the highest quality possible, and that's not what's happening. So that's the issue right now, at least from my point of view.
Yeah.
I would take upscaling if it was max graphics upscaled.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, even that's not. So
to wrap this part up, do you think this is... So yeah, you think this is just a launch day limitation, right? That this is a publisher content availability limitation versus something that is this going to get better over time?
I hope so.
The interesting thing is because there's no updates, we may not even know when it happens. A couple months from now. Yeah, a couple months from now, a game could suddenly be running better and we'll have no idea why because there's no updates, there's no patch notes, there's nothing. It just might just snap a finger and work better one day. Who knows?
which is Google's famous app update communicate. Yeah. this coupled with Google's famous app update change logs. So this is fun time for all.
But so, yeah, I was just going to say, as new games come out, they'll have spent more time being worked on through Stadia.
Hopefully. So, have you played, what do you think of playing Stadia on the phone?
I haven't done it yet.
Inconsistent. Yeah. First time I tried it, it was garbage. Second time I tried it, it was great.
The screens are way too small. The HUDs on every single game are like obscured and tiny. That is a huge issue with Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Like, I can barely make out waypoints and stuff. And I know this was a part of Google's push to play on any device, but maybe games like Stadia optimized games are going to be optimized for small screen devices. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't see it right now. And I'm just wondering whether they expanded themselves getting Stadia to work on the phone. It's already lacking features like voice chat and and assistant and screenshots. I'm wondering whether it was worth it from them on day one or from even the beginning at GDC to say that you could play on your phone.
I think it makes sense. I think they'll figure out the scaling issue, because I mean that was a problem Nintendo had with ports too on the Switch.
Mm.
Is like, I mean, I'll bring up Rocket League again. when they brought it over to the Switch, they had to upscale the chat and all of the menus to make it readable on the Switch's internal display. And that changes intelligently based on if you're docked or not. Mm-hmm. I think Stadia can figure it out just because Stadia is insanely good at knowing what controlling method you're using.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can figure out what your screen size is, they can probably adjust it just as easily as long as the developers are on board with that.
Not to mention the screen sizes are fairly limited right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Switch is 6, right? Or is it 6.5?
I think it's 5.5 and 6.2.
And 6.2. I think the phones are way too small. Like, I'm playing on a 2XL, and that's 6 inches, but it definitely feels so much smaller.
Yeah, it feels weirdly smaller than a Switch.
Yeah, I don't know why that's the effect. I'm definitely going to put my 2XL over a Switch after this, but yeah, it's so much smaller. It feels so much smaller, and I don't know how that's solved in the future.
The only thing that helped me was getting one of these ridiculous monstrosities. This was the only way that I could get it to feel big enough and close to my face.
Oh man, do I have to tell you my setup? I'm using an unplugged Pixel stand. I'm resting it on top of the Stadia Founders Edition box. And then there's a wire, a very... My shortest USB-C cable is from the Nexus 5X and 6. Do you remember that?
Oh, I do remember that.
It was my first USB-C cable, and it was so stiff. It is still so very stiff, but it was a short thing, and that's what I've been using. So,
yeah. I have that.
Yeah, I think that does look better.
Pixel stand at least makes sense, because then you can keep the device charged if you actually wanted to.
Battery day. How is your battery drain, Kyle?
I didn't play very long, so. And even then, I've been terrible about actually putting my phone on the charger to get to 100%, so my measurements are way out of whack.
So I want to say I went 40 to 50 or 40 to 6% after like a 2-hour gaming session of Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
That sounds better than xCloud.
Yeah, let's talk about xCloud. We all have access to the xCloud preview about a week before Stadia, 2 weeks before Stadia launched. How's the competition?
Draining. I put my Pixel 3 onto the Pixel stand and started playing. And after a couple hours of playing playtime, it had discharged instead of charging.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, wireless. Okay, in fairness, the Pixel stand should really be fan-cooled. But that's a digression for another day. But how's the quality? I know our initial impressions, comparing xCloud, the Stadia is inherently unfair in terms of the beta and preview status. But at the same time, it's a night and day difference.
Yeah. 100%. But I'd also want to reserve judgment on that until xCloud actually gets onto an easier to view platform.
Mm-hmm.
If I could get xCloud running consistently on my Chromebook, then I would feel confident to compare xCloud to Stadia.
I think I saw somebody getting xCloud on the Pixel Slate. I saw something about that. I know you've tried and didn't have much luck, but yeah. No. But yeah, so. So yeah, again it's in xCloud's in preview, but a lot more games. Yeah. Which collection do you prefer? Like, it's an unfair comparison, but right now, as of today, which collections of games do you prefer?
Okay, so to an extent, I'm biased, and I would pick Stadia just because of Destiny 2. Mm-hmm. But for the rest of the libraries, I'll give it to xCloud because they've got a nice combination of both, like easy to jump into games, full games, and just like, you know, beta games. Like West of Dead is a lot of fun if you get the chance to try it. There's just a lot of really good stuff on there. I'll give them credit for that. And mm-hmm. junk, yeah. too. But
yeah. No, and I agree. There are games on xCloud that I actually want to play versus the ones on Stadia that I'm playing just so I can play Stadia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, which is, when you put it that way, it really does sound like Google is bending over backwards to make Stadia viable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, before they added the 10 games over the weekend, there was nothing I wanted to play. Mm-hmm. Like, I was going to buy Tomb Raider just because that was the only one that was remotely interesting to me.
Ooh.
Yeah. It would have only cost you $10.
And no, and I still bought it, but there's there's actually two games that I want to play and want to try. But I'm definitely in the minority nowadays as far as game preferences go.
So how many more games are coming to Stadia by year's end? Do any of those tickle your fancy?
I'd have to look at the list again.
So I think there's three games, right? And I guess the one that everybody is really waiting for is Cyberpunk 2077. Would Tomb Raider... Doom. Yes, Doom. If that was a launch day title, would the discussion around Stadia be different?
The original Doom?
The Eternal.
New one. Oh.
Eternal. It would have helped.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. I don't know. For me, I'm most excited for that Avengers game when it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
All of the games I want are next year. Like, I want to play Avengers, and that Orcs Must Die game looks pretty fun. Mm-hmm. So it's like, all the stuff I really want is next year.
Yeah. And it's a long time. And like, the holiday season, like, Google is missing out that holiday season. Really missing out that holiday season. And I am curious whether what people, like people receiving Stadia's gifts, people who didn't buy it, what their investment to the, what their relationship to the platform will be and their outlooks.
But if they had EA on board, it would have been a really different story. If they had Jedi Fallen Order and that new Need for Speed game on Stadia right now, because Jedi came out, I think Need for Speed's a few more weeks.
Jedi came out same day.
Yeah, if they had those on Stadia, it would be a huge game changer for them.
And you wouldn't be here recording this podcast.
No, I would not. But no, just the hype between those two games is very, it's there. And I think it would have helped because, you know, there's a lot of people who don't own consoles, who buy consoles for specific games, Stadia gets rid of that.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that more later.
Yeah. Okay. So speaking about that experience, let's see what's happened with Stadia's marketing push. You already talked about how they're really targeting pro gamers right now. And that's why all the criticism is coming from, I think. I think all more general reviews have shown the promise of Stadia. Chromecast Ultra is overheating. What was that story about today?
Chromecast Ultras always run hot, apparently, for a handful of people. They got so hot that they just shut down midstream, which that sucks. Google told us in an email that it's not supposed to do that. And that was pretty much all they said.
I would just to take the devil's advocate here, I feel like maybe people who run into this issue should try a different HDMI port. Maybe they're like in a particularly warm spot of their TV.
All the rears of all TVs are warm.
There's more to that story than the
mass issue. Definitely.
Yeah. I think there either needs to, I think the Chromecast Ultra just does a horrible job at cooling itself.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure more people are going to run into this, but it's definitely not going to be a widespread issue like so many of the other coverage of this issue made it out to be.
Yeah, it's everything. Yeah, there are always issues with Google hardware and Chromecast, but the scale right now, this week, is like tuned all the way up. So yeah, there was this thing about Stadia customer support, which is, you're not really supposed to listen to customer support, but sometimes they say things.
Yeah. Wait, which one are you referring to?
The Stadia discounted.
That's not even. So I understand what you're talking about with Stadia support, where that's like, you know, you contact
the support,
and this was their Twitter account. Yes. This was the official Stadia Twitter account. Now, in Italian, they're saying, they said that if you unsubscribe from Stadia Pro, you would lose the games that you paid for if you bought them with a Stadia Pro discount, which rang all kinds of bells as like red flags, sirens. No. So yeah. that was just completely false. They clarified all of that, but just it was spreading very quickly and we had to make sure that one was shut down.
Yeah, it shoots straight into the fear of Google taking away your games, which is everything that's digital these days. So, that was a fun hour's worth of news.
Right. So if you later on down the line decide that you want to just get Stadia Pro for 1 month to take advantage of the fact that some game like Final Fantasy is $30 off, you save $20. Congrats.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go for it. It's all good.
Yeah, again, I think with all these streaming services we have, I think people are going to be so much more strategic about subscribing and unsubscribing going forward. I am curious. Like, Google's workflow is pretty seamless about unsubscribing, but I am curious how other streaming services in general handle these people subscribing and unsubscribing on a monthly basis. So, yeah. But yeah, as Steven wrote, this launch was not good. It was far from ideal. It does seem like, again, they had 8 months from public. They had 8 months under the public eye, and they really did wait for the last minute. Like an hour before Stadia launch, they added all the final support documents, and it was kind of really haphazard, not to mention the thing with the Stadia codes not coming in order. That was bedlam among the community.
Yeah. I have a friend who he just got his hardware and he still hasn't got a code.
Ooh.
And he ordered it last month, so he probably won't get his code for another day or two.
At best, yeah. That's you know what really bothers me about this whole thing though, especially the shipping and all of that, is the fact that Google is already shipping Stadia Premier editions.
Mm-hmm. Really?
They are shipping those. I'm pretty sure. I thought I heard from somebody that said those are shipping, or at the very least, somebody got charged for theirs.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. Why are those going out?
Yeah.
You can't play that for God knows how long.
The last guidance they provided to us was in 2 weeks, everybody's going to receive their orders. And that seems awfully optimistic, doesn't it, now? That everybody will be live on the platform in 2 weeks.
Mm-mm. I'm looking forward to it.
And then there's the Buddy Pass, which literally doubles how many people there are on Stadia. Like, we haven't seen any server issues. I know our teardowns of the apps revealed that there might be server issues. Like, there is dialogue for handling if there's too many people on the server. But the people who have Stadia right now, I don't think that's happened yet. But again, usage.
Right.
So yeah, Stadia, the claw. I think the Stadia controller scratches really easily.
Yes, confirmed.
Yes.
No, I was trying to put the Xbox controller on my white one earlier, and it did leave a mark. But it's not like a scratch. But it's not a scratch. It's kind of mark where if you rub it, it goes away. I think it's just really delicate paint. Which seems like a big oversight.
Yeah, it's very Pixel 2 XL.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry. No, exactly.
It's that situation. And it doesn't have the benefit of being metal. Yeah, I bumped mine against the metal of my MacBook, and it left a dent. I haven't bothered removing it yet. But I don't know if... Okay, the claw is this basically... It's a phone holder for your Pixel devices. It doesn't seem like it's worth $15 on the Google Store, but it's an exclusive.
Probably not, but I still love the fact that it fixes the weight issue by putting it over the controller instead of on top of it, which has always been my biggest complaint with playing games on a phone with a controller.
Yeah.
I know yours gets really close, Kyle, but
I know this one it's still even the way that it is, it wants to tip that way.
Yeah.
All over. Yeah. That's what I was trying to express, but it's so much easier to just show you that, look, it wants to tip.
Yeah. Well, this one that I bought, it actually has another stand that you pull out, so that way it can do that. But that doesn't make a difference when you're holding it and the weight. You're like, when you're doing that, you're forcing yourself to grip a little bit harder and pull it back just a little bit more, so that way you can get the balance right, which I feel like affects you just a little bit. And I've never liked that. So I'm glad. That's why I like the claw. I just hate that it scratches the controller.
Supposedly. Or may.
They've officially warned against it.
Well, now that I've seen it in person, the reason they said mark makes a lot more sense than scratch. Because if it leaves a mark that you can just rub away, I don't think it's that big of an issue. It's a stupid, stupid decision to let that happen. But as long as it's not a permanent mark, I don't think it really matters.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a stupid decision that it's like, oh, well, it's like the Pixel 3 with the scratching on the back.
Yeah.
It's stupid, but it doesn't matter
in
the long run.
Definitely. Again, I still can't imagine people playing on their phones, like on the bus. The setup team seems too complicated. You have to have your control with you. You have to have a clip.
I think once they fix the cable part, when it's wireless, I think it'll be fine.
But then once it's wireless, that wireless is going to be Wi-Fi.
Well, yeah, you're never going to... They never said this was going to be playing on the go.
Well, I know, but I mean, like, imagine the 5G future, you know, where I have my phone and I'm just playing Stadia on the bus or the train, and I've got a 5G connection somehow.
Yeah, the bus or train scenario. I don't think that's realistic. And I don't, in fairness to Google, I don't think they've pushed that specific vision, but true, it's heavily implied, and that's what people come to think of.
If they pushed any more vision than they already have, people would be pissed.
True.
That's true. But I see the laptop use case of very... I think people will be using playing Stadia on their laptops.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is 8 months. What are your final thoughts on all of this? Ben, let's start with yours.
None of it matters for a year.
None of it matters for a year.
Yes. Yeah, so I was in a very fun argument on launch day with a couple friends, and we were just, you know, we were talking about Stadia and how terrible the launch was. And I agree that the launch is terrible, but I think the story is a lot different a year from now, which I wrote in the post, because when, you know, this time next year, when the new Xbox is out and the new PlayStation's out and they're both $500+ and there's new games to go with them, I think Stadia Base or Stadia Pro looks a whole lot more attractive for new games than those $500 consoles. So
yeah.
I think that's when Stadia matters, and Google needs to get it together by then. And I think they will. But yeah, Stadia right now, no one should buy it except for Kyle. But, you know, 3 months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, it's a much better service with all of its issues fixed, or all of the ones that Google fixes. And it's a way better service, and I can't wait until we get to that.
Kyle?
Stadia is ready. It just needs two things. Games and players. Everybody wants more games to play, and I want more people to play with. I can't play Gambit in Destiny 2 because the matchmaking just fails. other than that, like, Stadia is ready. It you can play it today. Yes, it can't do all the things that Google said it could do, but by the time that the people who didn't pre-order can play, it's going to be doing some of those things. They what did they say? Like a weekly basis, they're going to be trying to launch new features,
which seems interesting.
Yeah,
it's very optimistic, especially. Yeah, we'll be sure to track how closely that pans out.
Stay tuned for Tuesday when the first new feature of Stadia launches.
That's going to feel really wild, even if it's like something as basic as what is it? Game award, not awards,
achievements.
Achievements. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think that's really
that'd be a good first one.
Yeah, odd that they couldn't make it.
Parties would be nice.
Parties would be nice.
I thought parties were already live.
No, parties are not live.
On TVs.
Oh, parties are... No, I don't
know. You can do parties. I've opened up the interface for that like a dozen times.
I don't think you can do it on the web yet.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of, because I haven't played that much on... so you can only do parties on Chromecast? That's weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
You can't do voice chat at all.
I just sent you an invite.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. And I guess on my end, it's like the first time I played Stadia, like it felt really futuristic to play it on the phone and to have like a game as rich and busy as Destiny 2 and just playing it on a small screen. It definitely felt more futuristic because it was on a small screen that I used to usually just watch video or read stuff. So it was a wow factor. Mm-hmm. And like all Google services, I said this last week too, I think, the promise is that it gets better over time. And I don't think nothing's been more true with this Stadia launch, this will be the future of gaming in however long, and Google and its 10-year plan could drastically improve it and change it. So yeah, it's going to be a long journey. these past 8 months have many, many more years ahead of it, to put it on a very grand scale.
Yeah.
So yeah, until next week. Oh, next week, obviously Thanksgiving, so we'll probably won't have a show. Are we all ready for Black Friday?
Oh god.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, until then, you can tune into Alphabet Scoop every week. We record this podcast every Thursdays as of late and publish Monday morning. You can find us on all your favorite podcasting platforms such as iTunes and Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Google Podcasts, Google Play, and of course, you can visit on 9to5google.com. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you to Ben and Kyle for joining, and we'll hope to see you soon.
See ya.
Bye.